Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Cracked Bats. Go ahead and be finding Judges. I'm not sure how we're going to cover all of this, but we're going to try. Judges chapter 13, and we're going to talk about some cracked bats today. In September of 1987, Jack Howell hit a pitch off Tim Stoddard in such a way that shards of bat landed past the first base coach, and the ball itself landed in the right field bleachers. He hit a broken bat home run. And I've actually pulled the video up on this, and it is an extraordinary thing. He swings the bat, and in slow motion, you see the bat just split, and yet the ball still ends up in the outfield, out in the bleachers, and it's a home run. Now, let me kind of tell you where we're going before we even get there. There's a good chance, if you're breathing, you're just an old cracked bat. And you kind of get yourself in a place where you say, if I were there in the dugout, and anybody was going to go hit with anything, they would never pick me up because I'm nothing but a cracked bat. And what are you going to do with a cracked bat? As it turns out, that's all there are. Bats tend to be made from maple or ash, and no matter how much you work on, you know, making it with the grain, all the things you have to do to prevent it, it's a piece of wood. It's not metal, it's a piece of wood, and it has flaws. And even the best, strongest, you think there's no way this is going to give way. A home run, eight home runs, and then boom, the thing finally cracks. You say, well, I think I'm out of the game. I think there's no way God could use me. One of the problems that Jesus had in his earthly ministry is he would come across people who thought they weren't cracked bats, but turned out they were a disaster. They were all painted nicely, all repaired, all put together. The religious people, as it turned out. And in the end, they were the nightmare. It's religious people sometimes who think they're all that that turn out to be the biggest problem. Say all the right things, act like they got it all figured out, but deep down inside, sometimes there's bitterness, there's anger, there's stuff that maybe you're not doing, but that they can kind of stuff and conceal. But as it turns out, they're just crack bats too. And maybe you're a crack bat. You go, yeah, I'm done. I'm an alcoholic. I've cheated on my wife, on my husband. I'm a drug addict. I'm nobody. There's no way anything good can come from my life. But you have to remember that if you read your Bible at all, this book is filled with nothing but crack bats. That's all he ever uses. That's all he's got. So you say, well, I'm taking myself out of the game. Everybody'd have to be taken out of the game. You say, but you don't know what I've done. It's not even a question of how recently you've done whatever you've done. The question is, are you going to stay in the game or quit? Now, there's a guy, and I picked this guy in Judges chapter 13 because it starts out so crazy great, and then it just gets nuts. Start reading with me, if you would, in Judges chapter 13. And this chapter's great. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. These people got no kids. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said, so an angel of the Lord, this is such a big deal. This happens in the Bible. Angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Not just are you going to get pregnant, you're going to have a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. So he's not talking about him now, she's talking about the mom. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. This is like a teenage boy's dream, but here we go. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be called a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So this guy is chosen. This is very hard to explain to you, and for me to get my head around,
If you are a Christian, you were picked before you were born. You were picked before the foundation of the world. God knows everything. He knows everything you have done, that you are doing, and that you are going to do. And he picked you anyway. What are you going to do with that? So this guy is like projected to be this amazing kid and deliver from the Philistines. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh my Lord," down in verse 8, "Oh my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do to the child who will be born." And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. That's why you should always be with your wife. It's right here in the Bible. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, "Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me." So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am." Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?" Like, what is it about this kid? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe." Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord." For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?" And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. Now look what happens. Making a sacrifice, lights a fire, puts on this rock. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar. The angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time." So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahanah Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now you go, great, this is an amazing story. It's all going to be good from here. It is a disaster from here on. As soon as this kid's born, it looks like, he becomes a mess. Look at Judges chapter 14. "Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, 'I have seen a woman,'" which I got nothing against women, but this is where a lot of trouble starts. "I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife." Go get her. "Then his father and mother said to him, 'Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?'" Like, really? You got to go get one of their girls? "And Samson said to his father, 'Get her for me.'" Why? Underline this stuff. "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." You better have more going on than that. "But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines." And you say, well, that doesn't make sense. It seems like Samson is messed up here and somehow God's using it anyway. This is part of the crack bat syndrome. Now, I am not saying this is some license go, well, great, then the more I screw up, the more God's going to use me. This will be awesome. That's not the point. He works in spite of you and in light of you, but you don't set yourself toward this hell-bent on screwing your life up. "For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done." So he kills a lion barehanded. So very strong guy. If you don't know the end of the story here, I'm going to try to keep reading.
and get to it. Then he went down, talked with the woman and said, and she pleased Samson well. Again, she's pleasing him well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. Now, I don't have time to get into all this. He's a Nazirite. You don't cut your hair. You don't touch dead things. You don't drink wine. He's violating, as you'll see in these chapters, all this stuff. His mom did the right thing, it looks like. He is not doing the right thing. He should never have touched this lion and eaten something out of it. The bees had put a hive inside this dead lion. Now, I'm going to jump. I hate to do this. You've got to go read the rest of chapter 14. It almost gets bizarre. It is. It's a little crazy. Sets up riddles and jump in Judges chapter 15. Some bad stuff happens in 14. After a while, chapter 15, verse 1, after a while in the time of the wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat, and he said, let me go into my wife, into her room. But her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion, or you're like your best man. Is not her youngest sister better than she? Please take her instead. And Samson said to them, this time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them. Then Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and he took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail, and put a torch between each pair of tails. When he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and olive groves. That's 300 foxes. First of all, how do you catch 300 foxes? I'm not questioning it. And then you tie their tails together with a torch and set them on the fields. This guy is nuts. Then the Philistines said, who has done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion. Now look at this. So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire, set them on fire. Forget letting your kids watch TV. You shouldn't let them read the Bible. Not without some supervision. I mean, this is scarier than anything you're going to see on TV. Samson said to them, since you would do a thing like this, I will surely take revenge on you, and after that I will cease. So he attacked them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. Then he went down and dwelt in the cleft of the rock of Elim. So the Philistines are coming against the people of God. They go to arrest Samson. 3,000 men of Judah go down to the cleft of the rock there in verse 11, and they try to take Samson. He says, swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves. So they spoke to him saying, no, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hand, but we will surely not kill you. So they bind him with two new ropes, take him down to the Philistines. Then Samson, verse 18, then Samson said, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. And so it was when he had finished speaking that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called the place Ramah Lehi. He broke the ropes and took a jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 men with it. Judges 16, more women trouble. Judges 16, verse 1, now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When the Gazites were told, Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning when it is daylight, we will kill him. And Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Strong man. Not strong in every way, but strong. If you read the last verse in chapter 15, look at this little verse 20. And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. This guy was the guy in charge of judging. So you say, well, how in the world does God use people like that? The same way he uses people like us. Keep reading. Another woman. Verse 4, in chapter 16. Afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was, and now everybody knows who this is, Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and find out where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. And Samson said to her, now, this is even more bizarre. He says, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings,
not yet dry, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So the Lord of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room, and she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire, so the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with." So he said to her, "If they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Therefore Delilah took new ropes, bound with him, and said to him, "The Philistines upon you, Samson." And the men laying in wait, staying in the room. This guy's an idiot. What is he doing even messing with this woman? And it's not like he doesn't know she's toying with him. And he's playing this game and he makes something up. And he knows they're all in the room. Why is he not afraid? Because he can kill 1,000 with a donkey's jawbone. What are a few guys going to do to him? He has no fear, which sometimes is the problem. You get bulletproof. You get brazen. You go, "I'm the man. I'm the woman. I got all this figured out." Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of the loom." So weaver's loom, these weaver's beams, if you get my head in there and weave it in there, oh, that's what'll take me out. Like, is this some kind of game? So she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. Then she said to him, "How can you say, 'I love you'?" Now we know what he's been saying. He's saying, "I love you," using her. She knows she's going to get a bunch of money if she figures out this secret. And they're just playing this stupid game. "How can you say, 'I love you,' when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies." And then this is an interesting verse. "And it came to pass, when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, 'No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man.'" When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the Lord of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. How dumb do you have to be? And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Now, guys, these are very sad things in the Bible. Now, the good news of the New Testament is that when the Holy Spirit of God comes upon you, he comes to live in you and will never leave you or forsake you. Old Testament, he could come and go. The game, the power that Samson had, once he gave away his secret and thought there would be no consequence, the Lord departed from him, and it goes downhill very quickly. So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him, and this is how immediately it goes downhill. They took him and put out his eyes. They captured him and immediately plucked his eyes out and brought him down to Gaza. Now he's bald and blind. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. You say, well, how is it possible to have one chapter, an angel of the Lord shows up, talks to these parents, a barren woman, she's excited, she's not just have a baby, she's going to have a son, not just have a son, this kid's going to deliver the people of God from the Philistines, it's going to be amazing. And you go from that, and within a few pages, he's blind and bald and got nothing. And he's grinding in a prison. You say, well, that's not going to happen to me. It can happen to anybody. You say, well, wow, that's the end of the story. It's done. It's not a cracked bat. It's just no bat. It's over. Keep reading. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven.
Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy." When the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land and the one who multiplied our dead." So it happened when their hearts were merry, in other words, they'd been drinking a while, that they said, "Call for Samson that he may perform for us." So now what is this? And look what happens. So they called for Samson from the prison and he performed for them and they stationed him between the pillars. So whatever this performance is, whether it's feats of strength, because he had some strength, he's grinding at the wheel, they had miscalculated how long his hair was. And you say, well, this is crazy stuff. There's nothing to do. Your long hair makes you strong. What are you talking about? God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You've got to find out what God's up to and go with that. You say, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense. You either trust him or you don't. You either believe it or you don't. So he comes in and performs for them. And he stages him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, he's being led around by some little kid, "Let me feel the pillars which support the temple of Dagon here so that I can lean on them. Let me get a hold of these pillars." Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. So he's down, they're up, he's leaning up against these pillars and he's entertaining them. Then Samson called to the Lord saying, "O Lord God, remember me. O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. Home run. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and I'll be done. I've said this before, a bunch of people say this. One of the things that makes you know the Bible is true is that people like Samson get included in the story. Because if you're putting together a nice, beautiful little book for people to read and be inspired to trust God, you don't put flakes like this in the Bible. Hebrews 11, this whole chapter is about the Broken Bat Hall of Fame, basically. Talks about what faith is and then starts listing names. 11:32, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson." Samson. The disastrous Samson. You say, well, it's not a great story. He's a screw up. And so are we.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
So are you done? You retired? By the way, there's no such thing as a retired Christian. You say, well, I'm looking forward to retiring. Maybe from your job, that's so you can finally go to work for your real job, which is being a Christian. So if you're planning your retirement, plan to serve God to the finish line. You don't retire from this. You say, dude, but I'm tired. So I'm retired. I quit. I'm out. And some of you, I literally can almost go through this entire room. I know his story. I know his story. I know his story. And his and hers. And you know what? They're not great stories, but the stories ain't finished. Because these old broken bats, said, okay, I don't get to do the picking, but if he says he picked me, then I will put myself out here in the dugout. And Jesus walks by and says, I believe I'll hit with that one today. And that old crack bat gets swung and boom, hit a home run. You go, well, how did he do that? Because he's God and that's how it works. Stop making excuses about what you're not and what you've done and where you've been and what's not possible. And what. Just let God figure it out and say a little prayer. Say, God, okay, I don't see how in the world you can bring anything good from this, but I am available. I am cracked, I am broken, but I am available. You figure it out. You'd be amazed what he can do with one broken bat, one cracked bat like me, like you.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.